एतत् वेदितुम् इच्छामि तत्त्वं तत्त्वविदां वर हरेर अद्भुत वीर्यस्य कथा लोक सुमंगला एतत् वेदितुम् इच्छामि तत्त्वं तत्त्वविदां वर हरेर अद्भुत वीर्यस्य कथा लोक सुमंगला एतद् वेदितुम् इच्छामि तत्त्वं तत्त्वविदां वर हरेर अद्भुत वीर्यस्य कथा लोक सुमंगला एतत् दिस् वेदितुम् टु अंडरस्टैंड इच्छामि आई विश तत्त्वम् ट्रूथ तत्त्वविदम् ऑफ दोज हु आर वेल वर्स्ड इन द एब्सोल्यूट ट्रूथ वर ओ बेस्ट हरे ऑफ द लॉर्ड अद्भुत वीर्यस्य of the one who possesses wonderful potencies. Katha, narrations. Loka, for all planets. Sumangala, auspicious. Translation. The king said, I wish to know narrations concerning the Lord who possesses wonderful potencies, are certainly auspicious for living beings in all planets. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam, which is full of narrations of the activities of the Supreme Lord, is auspicious for all living beings residing in every planet. One who takes it as belonging to a particular sect is certainly mistaken. Srimad Bhagavatam is certainly a very dear scripture for all the devotees of the Lord. But it is auspicious even for the non-devotees also because it explains that even the non-devotees hovering under the spell of material energy can be delivered from such clutches. If they hear the narrations of the Srimad Bhagavatam with devotion and attention from the right source, representing the Lord by disciplic succession. ఓమజ్ఞాంతిమిరందస్య జ్ఞానంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుణ్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మయ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుత పదకమలం శ్రీగరుణ్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగరజాతాం సహగణారఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపదాన్ సహగణాలలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియ పంచకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాత్సాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ లైక్ టు వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ ఆల్ టు టుడే శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్లాస్ దిస్ వర్స్ దట్ వి ఆర్ సీయింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం is a very, very special verse because it directly is glorifying the Bhagavatam itself. And the purport that Srila Prabhupada has written is even more special because it talks about the importance and the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. So keeping that in mind and keeping the context of the Bhagavatam in mind, I'm going to be sharing with all of you all today some amazing glories of Srimad Bhagavatam that all of us should know and must realize. So please be ready for a whole series of stuti of Srimad Bhagavatam. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing Sanatana Goswami, he emphasized on 5 things. సాధు సంగ నామకీర్తన్ భాగవత శ్రవణ్ మథురావాస శ్రీమూర్తయ శ్రద్ధయా సేవన్. సో హీ సెడ్ దాట్ అ డివోటీ షుడ్ చాంట్ ద హోలీ నేమ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ ఫస్ట్ అసోసియేట్ విత్ ద డివోటీ సాధు సంగ అండ్ ఇన్ ద సాధు సంగ నామకీర్తన్ చాంట్ ద హోలీ నేమ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ అండ్ భాగవత శ్రవణ్ హియర్ ద గ్లోరీస్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం అండ్ రిసైడ్ ఇన్ మథుర. రిసైడ్ ఇన్ మథుర ఎసెన్షియలీ మీన్స్ గో టు హోలీ ప్లేసెస్ but also make your house a holy place. And Shri Murtira Shraddhaya Sevana, that means with faith worship the deities. And Lord Chaitanya said, Sakala Sadhana Shrestha Yai Pascha Anga Krishna Prema Janama Yai Panchera Alpasanga. So these 5 forms of devotional service, 5 limbs of devotional service are the best of all. And even if you perform slightly one of these, you will achieve perfection and your love for the Lord will awaken. So, the Bhagavatam has always been glorified in various scriptures and by various acharyas as the most important element, one of the most potent elements of your spiritual lives. So, Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he gives a series of verses glorifying these 5 items. And so while he is giving a series of reasons why, you know, glorifying the Srimad Bhagavatam, glorifying these five limbs, Rupa Goswami talks about how these five practices have extraordinary potency to bring in pure love of God in your hearts. And then, while he's, you know, glorifying all these five practices like that, Rupa Goswami suddenly gives a warning. In fact, he gives two warnings. The first warning is a very famous warning that Rupa Goswami gives, where he says, "My dear friend, if you are indeed attached to worldly friends, don't look at the smiling face of Lord Govinda as he stands on the banks of Yamuna at the Keshi Ghat. Casting his sidelong glances, he places his flute to his lips, which seem like newly blossomed twigs. His transcendental body, bending in three places, appears very bright in the moonlight." So he's giving a warning to all those people who are wanting to enjoy material life. Don't go to Yamuna, and on the banks of Yamuna, don't hand at Keshi Ghat, and even if you go there, don't look at Krishna, who is standing there with threefold bending form. Because once you go there and you see Krishna there, you will never be able to enjoy your life. I mean, you know, imagine the situation of all of us, isn't it? Isn't that how it happens? You know, we kind of innocently come to Krishna consciousness and somehow we see the threefold bending form of Krishna in Vrindavan. And that's it. The attraction for all mundane pleasures goes away. Wish we had heard this warning of Rupa Goswami in the beginning. Then we could have reconsidered it. Right? So Rupa Goswami is kind of giving a warning to everybody who is materialist, who is a non-devotee. Come here and you do this one mistake, your life is over. And then Rupa Goswami goes on to give a second warning, which is not so popularly known. But it's a very interesting warning. And this warning is about Srimad Bhagavatam. So Rupa Goswami says, "You foolish children," look at the beginning, you know, he's calling all of us, you know, he says, "You foolish children, it seems that you have let the syllables of the 10th canto verses enter the pathway of your ears. Why else would you show such profound aversion for those most auspicious goals of religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification, and also deride the supreme blissful state of liberation?" So, the acharyas, so basically in this verse, what he's trying to say is that anyone who hears the verses of 10th canto of Bhagavatam, they lose taste for dharma, artha, kama, moksha. They lose taste for all this. These four things, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, is what is running the world. And for someone who has heard verses of 10th canto of Bhagavatam, they lose taste for this because they develop a higher taste. So, the acharyas give a commentary on this commentary of Rupa Goswami. And they say, Jiva Goswami says that this type of praise is known as Vyaja Stuti. Vyaja Stuti means it is glorification in disguise. So basically, it is a type of literary embellishment, which is called indirect expression. So that means, what we understand is mundane things, right? We understand mundane things very nicely. So Rupa Goswami is comparing what you will get from something highly spiritual with what you will lose from something highly material. So he's kind of indirectly glorifying. So he's giving us a warning also, and he's also simultaneously glorifying Bhagavatam. He's telling, and look at the words that he's using, you know. He's telling, "You foolish children," he's referring to all of us, you know. Foolish children he's calling us, basically. So, what is the meaning of child? Here, child refers to somebody who's unintelligent, very naive, basically, you know. So he's saying that Dimbha means child or an infant, indicates two things. One is people who are foolish, that they have not heard the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto at all. They're children. That's what he's trying to say. And also he's trying to say that Even children can hear 10th Canto Bhagavatam. So these are like two different things that Rupa Goswami is trying to simultaneously say, basically. Bhagavatam is something that attracts everyone. Small children get attracted to Bhagavatam because there are so many nice stories in it. Very evolved spiritualists get attracted to Bhagavatam. A mundane person who is only there to, you know, for entertainment can get attracted to Bhagavatam. Super intense intellectual philosophers can get attracted to Bhagavatam. Practically anyone and everyone can get attracted to Bhagavatam, no matter what your level of intelligence is. Sanatan Goswami is considered to be a rasika, a lover of Bhagavatam. Rupa Goswami, in fact, he glorifies his brother Sanatan Goswami as someone who has been immersed in Srimad Bhagavatam from his childhood. So this is much before Sanatan Goswami met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. Sanatan Goswami was completely immersed in the study of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sanatan Goswami had a very special relationship with Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, Sanatan Goswami, when he was Sakar Malik in Nawab Hussain Shah's kingdom, he was a minister in Nawab Hussain Shah's kingdom. Even during his time as Nawab Hussain, as a minister, Sanatan Goswami was completely absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam. And he would have Bhagavat Kathas in his house on a daily basis. In fact, it is explained, Sanatan Goswami, so they lived in a place known as Ram Keli. Ram Keli is, the name Ram Keli comes because it is said Lord Ram performed pastimes in that place. And Sanatan Goswami lived in that place known as Ram Keli. And Sanatan Goswami, this is something very interesting for all those who are connected to Radha Gopinath Temple and Govardhaniko village. Very historic fact. Information. So Sanatan Goswami created a replica of Vrindavan in Ram Keli, and he established temples of Sri Madan Mohan. He had a number of tanks dug in that place, and those places, those tanks, those ponds were named after Radha Kund, Shyam Kund, Lalita Kund, Vishakha Kund, and around those lakes he planted trees that were native of Vrindavan, Keli Kadamba tree, Tamal trees and all that. And in Bhakti Ratnakar, Sri Narottam Das Goswami explains that after constructing his miniature Vrindavan, Sanatan Goswami would sit under a Kadamba tree on the bank of Shyamakund and chant and cry. So this is like a, what do you call it, Shastra Praman of what we are doing in Govardhaniko village. So technically, if you sit on the banks of the Yamuna there, you sit under any tree in Govardhaniko village, you sit in the Vrindavan forest in Govardhaniko village, and the temples in Govardhaniko village, it is as good as sitting in Vrindavan. And that's, this is Sanatan Goswami, this is not some ordinary person doing this. Sanatan Goswami exactly did this. He stayed in Ram Keli, but he created a miniature Vrindavan for himself in his own place. And that's exactly what the vision of Radhanath Maharaj is. So we are very far away from Vrindavan, but he has created a oasis of Vrindavan for us over there. And you can sit under any tree over there and be rest assured that you are under a Kadamba tree or under a holy tree in Vrindavan, and you can chant and meditate there. So Sanatan Goswami had great love for Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he was young, a Brahmana appeared in his dream and gave him a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he woke up from the dream, he was very disturbed because he had seen a very vivid dream. And the same morning, that same Brahmana comes and gives him a copy of Bhagavatam. So then Sanatan Goswami took this as a sign, and he became totally merged in the study of Srimad Bhagavatam. And from the study of Srimad Bhagavatam that Sanatan Goswami did, he wrote a commentary which is known as Vaishnav Toshini. And Sanatan Goswami wrote so many beautiful poems on Srimad Bhagavatam. And one very long prayer written by Sanatan Goswami glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam is known as Shri Krishna Leela Stava. And it considers, and this Shri Krishna Leela Stava consists of 108 obeisances to different forms of Krishna. So now this book, which Sanatana Goswami wrote, you know, he wrote it 500 years back. But this book was lost over time. And some of the acharyas who knew about this particular work of Sanatana Goswami, they really hankered for this book. And there was one particular great devotee whose name was Sri Haridas of Navadvip. You know, he lived in the year 1898 to 1957. And he was instructed by his guru to find all Goswami literature and publish them. And in his research, he came across Sanatana Goswami's Sri Krishna Leela Stava. He heard about it. But he tried his best to find one copy of Sanatana Goswami's Sri Krishna Leela Stava. He was just not able to find it. And he became very sad. He stopped sleeping. He stopped eating. Day and night, he was only thinking about this book, basically. And one day, he sat on the bank of Yamuna in Vrindavan. And he was crying, unable to find this manuscript. And he started, you know, taking the names of Sanatan. Hey Prabhu Sanatan, Hey Prabhu Sanatan. He was like, you know, remembering Sanatana Goswami so much. And something mystical happened. There was a bundle of cloth that was floating in the river. And this bundle of cloth floating in the river, it caught his attention. And he walked into the river and he brought this bundle out. And when he opened this bundle, he saw many papers in it. And among that, he found the original copy of Sri Krishna Leela Stava in Sanatana Goswami's handwriting. Imagine, it just floated and reached him. And so this original copy of Sanatana Goswami's writing is still present in a place known as Haribol Kutir in Navadvip. And in that Sri Krishna Leela Stava, Sanatana Goswami glorifies Srimad Bhagavatam in amazing ways. And here is one of the glorifications of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sanatana Goswami says, Sarva Shastrartha Piyusha, Sarva Vedaika Satfala, Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya, Sarva Lokaika Drikprada, Sarva Bhagavata Prana, Srimad Bhagavatam Prabhu, Kali Dvandva Iti Aditya, Shri Krishna Parivartita. So look at this glorification of the Bhagavatam of Sanatana Goswami. He is saying, Sarva Shastrartha Piyusha, Srimad Bhagavatam is the essential nectar of all the Vedic scriptures. Sarva Vedaika Satfala, Srimad Bhagavatam is the fruit of all the Vedas. And then he says, Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya, Srimad Bhagavatam is the jewel of all philosophical conclusions. Sarva Lokaika Drikprada, Srimad Bhagavatam grants spiritual vision for everybody in this world. Sarva Bhagavata Prana. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is the life of the devotees. Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu. And he says, so here, Bhagavatam is called a person. Bhagavata Prabhu. Prabhu is referred to a person, right? So, Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from a person. And it says, Kali Dvantva Iti Aditya. So in Kali Yuga, you are like a sun that rises and dispels all the darkness. And it says, Sanatana Goswami says, Shri Krishna Parivartita. That means Krishna has returned back to us in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Sanatana Goswami goes on to say, Madek Bandhu Mat Sangin, Mad Guru Mad Mahadhana, Man Nistaraka Mad Bhagya, Mad Ananda Namostute. He says, Srimad Bhagavatam is my only friend. Madek Bandhu, Mad Sangi, Srimad Bhagavatam is my companion. Mad Guru, Srimad Bhagavatam is my teacher. Man Mahadhana, Srimad Bhagavatam is my greatest wealth. Man Nistaraka, Srimad Bhagavatam is my deliverer. Mad Bhagya, Srimad Bhagavatam is my good fortune. And he says, Mad Ananda, Srimad Bhagavatam is my only joy. So like this, you know, he is glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. And he says, Asadu Saditam Dainin. So he says, Srimad Bhagavatam bestows saintliness to those who are unsaintly. If anybody who is not a saint reads Bhagavatam, that person will become a saint. Look at this. Look at the way Sananda Goswami is glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam, basically. And he says, Na muncha kadachin mam. He says, he is begging Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, please never leave me. You know, would you say that to a book? You wouldn't say that to a book, right? You would say that to a person. And Sananda Goswami is considering Srimad Bhagavatam to be Prabhu, to be a person. And he's saying, don't ever leave me. So like this, Sananda Goswami is glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam so much. When Shukadev Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj on the banks of the Ganga, Parikshit had just 7 days to live. Because Sringi had cursed Parikshit. And Parikshit was not knowing what to do. So he went and asked many saints, you know, what should I do? I have only 7 days to live. What should I do? He asked many, many saints there. He asked Vyasdev, he asked the Brahmarishis, Narad Muni, and he asked so many people. And in spite of asking so many people, he never got a satisfactory answer. What he should do in those 7 days? And at that time, Shukadeva Goswami comes there. And when Parikshit Maharaj asks Shukadeva Goswami, what should I do in these 7 days? Shukadeva Goswami very clearly said, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And immediately when Shukadeva Goswami said, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, all the sadhus there, all the great sages over there, they said, sadhu, sadhu. And that means they said, this is the real answer, basically. So Shukadeva Goswami was speaking to Srimad Bhagavatam. At that time, the demigods from the heavens, they arrived over there. And they brought along with them a jug filled with amrit, nectar of immortality. So they told, Shukadeva Goswami, they said, so basically anybody who drinks this amrit, like say for example, Brahma, so any demigod takes one sip of this amrit, they live for one day of Brahma, which is one kalpa. They have a long life just by drinking one drop of the nectar of this amrit. So they got a full jug of this amrit, the demigods. And they told Shukadeva Goswami, please take this jug of nectar and give it to Parikshit Maharaj. You also drink from it, you know. And so if you drink this nectar, the Parikshit is not going to die. So the 7 days program is not needed, basically. So they said, in exchange for this nectar that we are giving you, give us the nectar of Bhagavad Katha. We want that nectar in exchange, you know. Shukadeva Goswami, he said, what are you saying? You are coming to exchange broken pieces of glass for a rare diamond. And he says, you think that a rare diamond and a broken piece of glass, just because they look similar, they look same, you think they are same? And he says, there is a difference of heaven and hell. He's giving them in their language only, you know. He's explaining, they understand heaven and hell language, right? There is a difference of heaven and hell, he's saying. And he's saying that, look, Shukadeva Goswami is telling them, you are foolish by talking about an exchange offer. And because you have come comparing Bhagavatam, the nectar of Bhagavatam with the nectar of an ordinary, amrit, you don't deserve it, he says. He's telling the demigods, you don't deserve it. And he says, get out from here. Shukadeva Goswami is telling the demigods, get out from here. All the demigods, they realize that, you know, we kind of are more in a mundane equation, thinking that, you know, if I just give something to this person, I'll get whatever I want. That's when they understood that the Bhagavatam, getting the nectar of Bhagavatam, is even more rarer than getting the celestial amrit. And he's saying, but the greatness of the great devotees like Shukadeva Goswami is that he's distributing it freely in this world. Parikshit Maharaj continued hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days and 7 nights. And then, he left this world. But Brahmaji, when he saw Parikshit Maharaj, he drank the nectar of Bhagavatam for 7 days and 7 nights. And he didn't die. He lived eternally in the spiritual world after that. So Brahma, he was amazed. He really understood that this Bhagavatam is something very special. So Brahma went and brought a scale, weighing scale. And he put all the sadhanas in this world. All the sadhanas that grant liberation, that grant perfection. He put all the sadhanas on one side. Fasting, austerities, everything he put on one side. And then he put the Bhagavatam on the other scale. The Bhagavatam was heavier. That's when Brahmaji understood that this is the highest level of austerity that one can ever do. The highest level of devotion one can ever do. So, sitting in a Bhagavatam class, don't think you're not doing anything, you know, very great. This is the, you can't do anything higher than this. The highest thing you can ever do in your life is sit and hear Bhagavatam. That's all. In the Padma Puran, there is a very, very beautiful conversation between Suta Goswami and the sages of Naimisharanya. And in this conversation, so Suta Goswami is narrating a story to the sages of Naimisharanya. And he talks about Narad Muni one time visiting Badrikashram. And Narad Muni was looking very sad and dejected. He was not his regular, happy, joyful person. So the sages asked him, what happened? Have you lost something? Are you sad about something? You know, you're such a great devotee, you can't be trapped by Maya. Essentially, that means anybody who's looking sad is essentially trapped by Maya in some way or the other, basically. And great devotees of the Lord are not trapped by Maya, and therefore they are always blissful. So Narad Muni, he explains, I've traveled the length and breadth of the world, but Kali Yuga has begun rampantly. And he says, I am experiencing quarrel, hypocrisy, jealousy, envy, enmity everywhere in Kali Yuga. And then he speaks about all the things that he has observed in Kali Yuga around that time. And you can imagine, Narad Muni, this is like probably the beginning of Kali Yuga. And whatever he has observed is like much more today. So he's saying, truthfulness, austerity, cleanliness, mercy, charity are nowhere to be seen. Fallen entities, they take pleasure in telling lies. And they are simply engaged in filling their bellies. They are lazy, less intelligent, unfortunate, always disturbed. And he says that in Kali Yuga, there is humans are only engaged in animalistic activities. For them, money is sweeter than honey. And they are completely devoid of sadhu sangha. And he says that men have developed so much greed that they will do anything for money. He says, Yavanas and Melechas are demolishing temples of Ram and Krishna. Kali Yuga is a Davanala, forest fire, where all sadhanas are burned to ashes. And he says, in Kali Yuga, all human beings are in such bad situation. And then he says that he traveled all over the world, and finally he came to Vrindavan. And on the banks of Yamuna in Vrindavan, he saw a young woman. She was looking very pale and full of anxiety, and she was crying. And next to her, on the left side, were two old men lying there. And they were breathing very heavily. She was trying to console them. And there were many other women standing next to her, trying to help her. So, Narad Muni reaches there, and the moment he reaches there, this lady, this young lady, looks at Narad Muni and says, Oh, Sadhu, please stay here for some time. Only Sadhu Sangha can help me at this point in life. And she says, when good fortune arises, that's when a Sadhu comes into your life. So Narad Muni, he's very surprised. He says, Oh Goddess, who are you? And who are these two old men lying on your left side? And who are all these women standing and trying to console you? what is causing you so much pain? And this young woman, she says, I am Bhakti Devi. She is the personification of Bhakti. And these two old people that are lying next to me are my two sons, Jnana and Vairagya. In Kali Yuga, this is their condition. Jnana and Vairagya become old invalids, literally. You know, they can't even get up by themselves. And all holy places are these ladies that are standing next to me. And here Ganga Devi is standing. So he's saying, though all these holy places are standing next to me, I'm not feeling happy. So she then starts describing her own story. She says, I was born in Dravidadesh in South India. And I was nourished in Karnataka. And I stayed in Maharashtra. And then I went to Gujarat. So she says, Kali Yuga is prevailing there very strongly. Now, I'm not sure exactly what this is meaning, but that's what the reference from the Padma Puran says, basically. And she says, while I was there, so many miscreants were hitting me very badly. And my sons and I became very old just by staying in materialistic places. I don't know what she will do when she comes to Bombay today, you know. It's pathetic, isn't it? This is like Padma Puran story, such an old story, the beginning of Kali Yuga, this is her state. Today's state will be like even more worse, isn't it? So she says, after traveling a lot, finally we reached Vrindavan. And as soon as I entered Vrindavan, I regained my youth, Bhakti Devi says. But my two sons, they still have not got back their youth. And I have decided to leave from here and go to some foreign countries. Like that Bhakti Devi is telling Narad Muni. So imagine, you know, technically if you see, you know, it's kind of allegoric to what is the situation today. When people take up Krishna consciousness in the Western world, they're actually more serious than people in India most of the times, isn't it? So Bhakti Devi is seriously considering going to foreign countries, basically. And she's saying, why is this happening to me? So Narad Muni, he becomes very disturbed hearing Bhakti Devi's situation and her story, basically. And he tells her that I will surely find a solution to your problem. And Bhakti Devi, in her concern and her pain, she asks Narad Muni, this Kali Yuga is such a terrible age, so much suffering. Look at what has happened to us. She says, why did Parikshit not beat up Kali and kill him that time only? If Parikshit had killed him that time and not left him and given him some places to stay, we would not have been in such a bad state. And Narad Muni is asked by Bhakti Devi like this, Narad Muni gives explanation of why Parikshit did not kill Kali Yuga, Kali at that point, Kali Purush. So Narad Muni tells, Parikshit is Saragrahi. That means he accepts the good and rejects the bad. So in anyone, Parikshit sees if there is any good quality in them. And Parikshit, when he inspected very carefully, he saw that in Kali, there is one very, very good quality, which is that, Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vrajet. If someone does Hari Kirtan in Kali Yuga, they easily obtain liberation. So now the same opportunity is not available in other yugas. So that means in other yugas, you have to do a lot of tapasya, you have to do samadhi, you have to do jnana, and you have to do so many complicated things. But in Kali Yuga, you can get it only by Hari Kirtan. And he was thinking, Parikshit was thinking, if I kill Kali, then this such a easy way to perfect your life will also go away. So he says, I don't want to kill Kali. And then Kali Yuga, people are engaged in such bad activities, such sinful activities. But this one good quality that is there in Kali Yuga, therefore he has left Kali alive. So Bhakti Devi says, I am so fortunate that I met you. She says, all this time I was thinking, I was actually offending Parikshit Maharaj by thinking, why he didn't kill Kali? Because all the problems in my life are due to Kali's being alive. But because of Sadhu Sangha, now I have realized how important Kali is. So then she asks Narad Muni, what should I do now? So Narad Muni, he's trying to inspire the two sons of Bhakti Devi, Gyan and Vairagya, to get up. But no matter how much he tried, they're not getting up only. He sits next to them and starts reciting Upanishads. He starts reciting Vedas. When he recites Upanishads and Vedas, they wake up for 1 minute, go back to sleep, basically, you know. So Narad Muni becomes very, very sad. And he starts thinking of Lord Govinda. And as Narad Muni is thinking like this, suddenly he hears a voice that tells him, go and seek your answer from sadhus. So Narad Muni gets up and goes to Badrikashram, where he meets the four Kumaras. And basically when he goes to Badrikashram to meet the four Kumaras, automatically there, the Bhakti Devi and her two sons also appear over there, along with all the rivers, basically. And the Kumaras assure that the only way to revive the two sons of Bhakti Devi and give back their youth is recite Srimad Bhagavatam. And then they start glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam as if they had four mouths. And they tell Narad Muni that simply by oral reception of this Vedic literature, you will feel love of Krishna arising in your heart. And it immediately extinguishes the fire of lamentation, illusion and fear, fearfulness. Simply by hearing with rapt attention from the right source, you can easily develop prema bhakti. And it says, no other sadhana is required. Only come and daily hear Bhagavatam. And they tell Narad Muni, just go to a Bhagavat Vaishnav, a very dear devotee of the Lord, and study Bhagavatam from him. In this way, you will easily develop Krishna Bhakti. And it says that any place where Bhagavat Katha is recited daily becomes a holy place. All of the Tirthas go there. And the residents of that place become very fortunate. All their sinful reactions completely get destroyed. And it says, one may perform 1,000 Ashwamedha Yajnas, but the result of that cannot be compared to 1/16th of the benefit of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And he says, sin resides in every person till they properly hear Bhagavatam. This text need to be realized and heard with rapt attention. And it says, if you really want, this is an amazing shloka. This says, shlokardam shloka padam vim nityam bhagavatod bhavam patasva sva mukhe naiva yad ichchasi param gatim. And this is amazing. This is a praman from our scriptures. It says, if you really want to achieve the supreme perfection, you should utter at least one Bhagavatam verse daily. If you cannot utter one verse, recite at least half a verse. And that's why in the Bhagavatam classes we ask to repeat verses. Why did Srila Prabhupada institute repeating of verses of Bhagavatam every day? Because at least every single day one must chant one verse of Bhagavatam. And simply by doing this, even if you don't know anything else in your life, you simply come here and repeat every day the words of Bhagavatam, you will attain perfection of your life. Our Nandagopal Prabhu, whatever he does in his life, but he is here for Bhagavatam, one verse, he repeats and goes, basically. That's the perfection of life. Simply doing this one thing is enough. You don't have to do anything else, basically. And that is why Srila Prabhupada established this as such an important aspect of our spiritual sadhana. So just by being here, hearing Bhagavatam, and every single day repeating one verse of Bhagavatam, you can achieve perfection of your life. When the four Kumaras glorifying Bhagavatam like this, Bhakti Devi and her two sons stood up, completely regained their youth, completely joyful, and they started uttering the holy names of the Lord. Shri Krishna Govinda Hare Murare, He Nata Narayana Vasudeva. So, like this, the Bhakti Devi and her four sons and her two sons began enthusiastically chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Bhakti Devi tells the four Kumaras, I was so affected by Kali. My whole body had become so hot. But by hearing your katha, I'm completely nourished. And my two sons have regained their youth and they are very blissful. And then she asks the four Kumaras, tell me, where should I stay now? And this is the end of the story. Look at what the four Kumaras says. The four Kumaras tell Bhakti Devi, if someone can develop bhakti, they will attain Govinda. You give Krishna prem. Therefore, she tells, the four Kumaras tell Bhakti Devi, you should always reside in the hearts of the Vaishnavas. So Bhakti Devi eternally now is staying in the hearts of the Vaishnavas. She doesn't need any one place to stay. She'll stay wherever devotees are reciting Bhagavatam, chanting the holy names, and absorbed in the Lord. I'll end by telling an amazing story of a great acharya from the Shivaishnava Sampradaya named Vedanta Desikar. Just to give you a little background, I'm sure all of you all have heard stories of Krishna stealing butter in Vrindavan, and that bell story where, you know, when Gopi hangs a bell on the pots and Krishna tells the bell not to ring, and the bell tells Krishna, I'll not ring, you know. Krishna goes to steal the butter, and when she's about to eat, the bell starts ringing. And Krishna and the bell have an argument, right? So Krishna asks the bell, you know, why did you ring? I told you not to ring. The bell said, yes, my lord, I was following your instructions. But you only have told in the Vedas that whenever offering is done, bell should ring. So I rang. So, you know, that bell defeated Krishna in an argument, in a vada, right? In a debate. That bell of Vrindavan eventually takes birth in Tirupati Balaji. So if you see in Balaji temple, there was a bell. And there were one family, very elderly couple, who didn't have a child. And they came to Tirupati Balaji to beg for a child. The next day morning, when these great devotees, reached Tirupati, and they prayed to the Lord, the next day the bell went missing from the temple. And the pujari got a dream that bell is taken birth in the womb of this lady. And he's going to become a great acharya. So, from that time onwards, there is no bell in Tirupati temple. If you go to Tirupati temple, there is no bell. You will not find bell being used at all. Why? The bell has taken birth as Vedanta Desikar in Kanchipuram. And technically, even in ISKCON, we don't have bells, right? Why? Because we believe that our mouth itself is a bell. And our tongue is a striker, you know. So when we chant the holy names of the Lord, that's like the real bell, basically. So Vedanta Desikar became such an exalted preacher, using his mouth to preach like anything. So one time, there was a person whose name was Krishna Kumar Pandit. He came to Vedanta Desikar and told him that I want to have a debate with you. Vedanta Desikar is such a great scholar, you know. And this person was a scholar of some philosophy, basically. He said, I want to have a debate with you. Vedanta Desikar say, see, you focus on your life, I'll focus on my life. Why you want to have a debate and all? This person said, no, I want to have a debate. And he says, I want to prove that I am better than you. My philosophy is better than yours. And he tells Vedanta Desikar that if I lose in this debate, I will follow you, your path, and I'll become your disciple. Vedanta Desikar said, see, let's not waste time. Your path is good for you, my path is good for me. I believe my path, you believe your path. He says, no, if you have any guts, come, accept my challenge. Then Vedanta Desikar said, fine, let's debate. And this person said, just like I gave a forfeit, that means I said, if I lose, I will become your disciple, I'll accept your philosophy. Why don't you also give a forfeit? What will you do if you lose? Vedanta Desikar said, I will not lose. This fellow got shocked. He said, what do you mean? What if you lose? He said, I will not lose. And Vedanta Desikar gave a logic why he will not lose. He said, if I was repeating my knowledge, I would lose. If I was repeating my words, I would lose.
If I was using my intelligence, I'll lose. But I am repeating what my acharyas have taught me. I am repeating what Ramanuja has taught me. I am repeating what I have learned from the great acharyas. And because I have learned from the great acharyas, whatever comes out from my mouth, it cannot be wrong. And he says, why what is coming out from my mouth cannot be wrong? Because it is coming from Parampara, which is coming from Krishna himself. And Krishna is known as Vedavit. That means he is the absolute truth. All knowledge is emanating from him. And because I am standing in that Parampara, whatever comes out from my mouth, it cannot be defeated. This fellow, when he heard this, he said, I don't want debate, I am surrendering now only to you. And he became his disciple straight away, you know. That is the power of words coming out from the mouth of great acharyas. So Srimad Bhagavatam is wonderful. We heard the glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. But that Bhagavatam, it really becomes relevant to our lives. And it really becomes powerful in our lives when we hear it from the mouth of great souls. From the mouth of great devotees. And that Bhagavatam that comes out from the mouth of great devotees is undefeatable. And that's the supreme knowledge. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.